So it's the OH that I owe. The hottest spot between New York and Chicago. Everywhere I go, it's that O to the H that I owe. That CLE bravado, giving loud bravo like Hala Desperado. In the land of El Dorado, home to Boricuas, Italians, and some Vatos. Home of that first flight, home of that traffic light. Home of Don King and that Ali Chuck Repner fight. Them Cleveland Indians and 10 cent for that beer night. Birthplace of Bone Thug, gave birth to them Buckeyes. Gave birth to them Cleveland Browns. Them Bengals, we worldwide. NFL with the Hall of Fame. Rock and roll and it's all the same. Halle Berry, Steph Curry, Kid Cudi, and LeBron James. Ohio, that major player, gave birth to major players. First major city with a black mayor.
Cleveland player. H-I-O.
Welcome to the
This is With an Ohio Bias, a podcast for real fans with D and Jake, and we're so happy to be joined by Mark Darden, sports enthusiast, and of course now he adds to his long title, author. Mark, welcome back to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me back again.
Yeah, Mark, we're so excited, man. The book has dropped. It's been a labor of love, but for our listeners, you know, you came on and talked about your quest for 30 and just visiting all 30 ballparks. So how did this thing go from just a personal goal that you set for yourself to you then turning it into a whole book project?
Well, when it came to the idea of going to all 30 ballparks, I was watching some YouTube videos one night, and I saw a video where there was these two friends who were both turning 30 years old. And their goal was to go to all 30 ballparks in 30 days to celebrate their 30th birthdays. And I thought that was a cool thing to do. And the more I thought about it, I was like, okay, I know I won't be able to do something like that, but I could probably get to all 30 within the season. So I just started looking at where all the teams were located from where I was at and looking at my vacation schedules coming up at work. And I figured, like, hey, this is something I could probably pull off. As for the book, that idea came a little bit more than halfway through me going to all 30 ballparks. I was talking to one of my friends, and I just mentioned to her that, hey, I had some pretty good travel stories to tell going to all 30 ballparks. So I was like, hey, I could probably write a book out of this.
And how did you decide on the tone for the book once you set your mind on doing the book? Were you able to go back and use your blog posts and, you know, putting that all together and how you wanted the book to come off?
Yeah, when it came to how I came with the idea for the tone of the book, at first I was just going to write about what I did, like, at the game itself. But then I realized some of the games I went to, nothing really exciting happened. It may have been, like, a very low-scoring game. But there were some travel stories that I went through that I could tell that I thought they were pretty interesting. So I was like, hey, maybe I could just write it like a travel diary where each day I went to a game, I just said what I did from when I woke up until I went to sleep. And as for the tone of the book, that was done through my editor, because the first chapter I wrote was Washington, D.C., because that was the first game I went to. And at first, I just wrote it pretty much like a very – like short summary what I did through the day. And he had mentioned to me that I probably should just expand it more and go through like how I felt during the day or give some more details of what happened at the game. So that's how I came up with the tone for the book.
Yeah, and congratulations on that, because I believe it's very conversational. You know, we've had you on the podcast before, and it kind of felt like me reading through it, like it was just like you're telling us the stories right there. And I think that's an accomplishment for an author to connect with the reader.
Yeah, this is my first time writing a book, so for me, everything is just a huge learning experience. And for, like, future books, now I kind of know what I'm going to do or how I'm going to write my books for any future books that I plan on doing.
Now, what did you learn about yourself on the journey with the quest for 30 and then also through, you know, the completion of having to put together a book?
When I was writing a book, I had an outline of, like, each day I went to a game, I had that outline, and then I would start on, like, one story, let's say Detroit. I would start on that one story. Then halfway through, I would think of something from another day that I was at a game, let's say, like, Miami, and then I would start writing that story. And while I was getting stuff done, I wasn't actually finishing anything. So I realized that I should try to just do one thing at a time instead of trying to do two or three things at a time.
Talk about the energy of just walking into the gates of a stadium, visiting all 30. I mean, I know you got to be kind of like feeling like a little kid, seeing something just so grand and awesome, you know, that was built. And then the energy of all the people that are coming there to root on their teams, even though you're coming from a standpoint of just checking out the stadium, it had to be a cool feeling every time you walked into a new stadium.
Yeah, it was really cool walking in all of the stadiums just to see all the fans getting ready to cheer for their team, just the atmosphere of each game. I would say one of my favorites was going to Toronto because I went to the stadium a couple of years ago just for a tour, and the roof was closed. But when I went for the Quest for 30, that day the stadium's roof was open, and I was super hyped about that because that was, I think, one of the few games where one of the stadiums that had a roof, the roof was actually open. So I was pretty hyped about that. And it was cool because where I was sitting at, I could see the CN Tower. So it was a pretty good view to see during the game.
Now, you're very transparent about the budgeting and, you know, how you saved money and made it affordable for you to travel to all 30 stadiums. But one of the things was time. And not to go into a detailed story, but one of the times it looked like you might not get to Busch Stadium, you ran into a little trouble in Columbus traffic on a day that's pretty important for those people that are residents there.
When it came to going to St. Louis, it was July 3rd, and Columbus has their 4th of July celebrations the day before, and it was red, white, and boom. So that day, I was at work 2 to 10. I got off work. Went home real quick, showered and changed, got my bag, and then I got an Uber to go down to the Greyhound station downtown. So everything started all cool until we started to hit a little traffic on the freeway, and at first didn't think too much of it. Then when we got into downtown, it was pretty much standstill traffic for like 20, 30 minutes. Officers had to direct traffic. And in my head, I was trying to think, like, why is there so much traffic down here? Then I remember Red, White, and Boom had just happened, and everybody was going home. So I was just like, okay, now I have to run over here to the Greyhound station. So I got out of the Uber at 4th and Broad Street, ran over a few blocks to the Greyhound station, and made it when the bus was supposed to leave, and then found out that the bus was actually late by like half an hour or an hour or something like that. And that was one of the few times I was happy that the bus was late.
As much as this is about just completing the stadium tour, man, it was almost like an eating tour as well. And if you follow like Darren Revelle and some of the minor league parks, you see all the different, you know, food concoctions that these parks offer. Give us one that you really enjoyed during the trip, man.
Since we were talking about St. Louis, when I was at Busch Stadium, they had the ultimate nacho stadium tater tots. So it was a huge plate of tater tots with, like, nacho toppings, like sour cream, pico de gallo. I think it had pulled pork with it as well. And it was $17, but it was really good to eat. And when I was in Arizona for the D-backs game, they had a special chicken sandwich, but instead of a regular bun, they had two funnel cakes, I think pepper jack cheese and, like, strawberry jam, and it was all in between the two funnel cakes, so that was pretty cool to eat as well.
Was there ever a time during the quest that you thought maybe you wouldn't hit all 30, you know, or complete this thing and, you know, of course, get subsequently be able to do a book about it?
Yeah, well, when it came to thinking if I would complete it or not, towards September, I was thinking, hey, maybe I won't be able to complete this because I had 4 stadiums left, and one of them was Toronto, so I got that one pretty easily, but the other three, between the other three, two of them were on the West Coast and the other one was in Kansas City. So I remember I had to get 2 weekends off at my retail job to get those. And Kansas City was arguably the hardest one to get since it's in the middle of the country and every method to get there is pretty expensive. But remember, I got to Kansas City at 7:30 in the morning and was at the game at a little after 2. So it was pretty cool to be able to accomplish this.
How does it feel, man? You've accomplished, like, you know, 4 or 5 goals on top of each other. you see your book in bookstores? Is that the Book Loft? You know, I mean, like, and tell people where they can get the book as well. But how does it feel just to see that, you know, that great artwork you have on there too? You know what I'm saying? I mean, just to see the physical copy of it and to be able to say, man, I wrote a book and people can, you know, re-experience what you experienced.
Yeah, it's really cool just seeing my book in the bookstore. I remember when I went to the bookstore to drop them off, I dropped them off, and then I think like a week later, I went back just to see like where the book was placed in the store. And the woman at the bookstore, she told me it was like right behind the front desk in the local author section. And I was super happy with a huge grin on my face because the book, the way they placed it, they had it where the cover was showing. So everybody can see it, and it was just like, oh, this is cool. My book is in a bookstore. And then I was like, okay, let me try to get into another bookstore or get into another bookstore. So that's where I'm at right now when it comes to the book. And as for purchasing the book, you can go to my website, which is buckeyemuscle.com/shop, and you just click on the icon that's in the shop, because right now the paperback's the only book I got at the moment. And if you live in Columbus, Ohio, you can go to the Gramercy Bookstore in Bexley, Ohio, as well as the Book Loft at German Village. And you can pick up the book for either one of those two locations.
And you're doing some personal autographs, too, if people order the book. Is that correct?
Yes. If you order it through my website, just say, hey, can you autograph it? And I'll gladly autograph it for you. Also, if you go to the Book Loft down at German Village, the four books I got down there are also autographed as well.
I can't thank you enough for your time. Three times over, I can't thank you enough. But really want to thank you for sharing this journey and, you know, this accomplishment that you have, man. And we know that you got a lot more coming. You were just in New York, and you got some big international plans as well. Just give us a little preview of that.
Yeah, one thing or some plans I have on doing this year is going to the London series for the Yankees and the Red Sox game. Plan on going to the Indianapolis 500, All-Star game in Cleveland, NFL draft down in Nashville. So I got a few things planned for this year that I want to accomplish or go to some sporting events that I've never experienced before.
All right, and just in case somebody missed it, let them know where they can follow along with all your adventures on social.
When it comes to following me, you can follow me at Buckeye Muscle, and that's for Twitter, Instagram, my Facebook page, as well as my YouTube page. Also, when it comes to Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, just look for the name Madison Square Darden, and then at Buckeye Muscle, and then you'll be able to follow me.
All right. We thank you so much for your time, man. We're going to get you out of here on one last bonus question, that WrestleMania preview one more time.
Okay, I got Kofi Kingston winning the WWE Championship. That match hasn't been announced yet, but I think that's probably going to lead to a match between Daniel Bryan and Kofi Kingston. Hopefully, he'll win the championship. And I think Becky Lynch, she'll end up winning the Women's Championship at WrestleMania as well.
How excited were you for the Daniel Bryan health heel turn?
It was pretty funny to me because it was something a little different. It just, for me, I know he's a bad guy, but most of his promos are hilarious to me. So it's just pretty funny hearing trash people and do this health nut kick and being an environmentalist, which is pretty funny to me.
The belt is made out of hemp. That's one of the best things to me. All right, Mark, we thank you so much for your time. And always talking with us and representing Ohio in the best way, man, always having the Script Ohio on and just sharing this incredible, incredible accomplishment with our listeners and the book, man. We'll make sure that we're promoting it and making sure people get their hands on it so they can see how cool it is to visit all 30 stadiums and really enjoy It's Game Time, folks.
Yeah, thanks for having me again. I really appreciate it, and it's always cool to talk about sports, baseball, or wrestling.
Absolutely, and we look forward to talking to you in your future endeavors.
Yeah, thanks.